SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell, back on Coast to Coast. We bring in Mafia Brian Ciano to talk about MMA per usual. Mafia, let's start it off with Covington Woodley fight night this Saturday. We've already talked about this guy, Covington, a lot, you know, in terms of him being that perfect heel in the UFC. This guy, without a doubt, there's nobody that people loathe more than this guy. I guess some people like him, but a lot of people hate him. I know the fighters all hate him. How bad is his reputation with his peers? And I don't think he cares, but he obviously lathers it up when he talks about, like, he doesn't care about fans, what they think, or media, or anybody. What about his peers?
They don't like him. I mean, most of them that see him don't like him. I don't think there's anybody that you've ever heard come out and say, hey, he's not a bad guy. You know, just don't take what he says at face value. Like, you know, that this guy is just acting out. Everybody that talks about him says they hate him. I mean, especially everybody that used to train with him. It seems like, you know, he's ticked off enough people that, you know, I would say the whole state of Florida probably hates him, because that's where he used to train down at ATT with those guys, with Woodley, with Masvidal, with the honor, Drew Jacek. But, you know, he does wear the MAGA hat, and he's all about that stuff. So there's probably plenty of people in Florida who like him. But, I mean, this guy talks so much trash, I'm not sure if his mother still likes him.
Does he have a history with Woody beyond that Florida connection that they despise each other?
Well, they used to train together, like I said, for years, and you know, they have talked back and forth over the last couple of years. Ever since Woodley left that camp earlier, you know, just go do his own thing, not because he had issues like some of these other guys, but just to go in a different, you know, area, different venue, change things up for him, because he had a lot of stuff going on, whether it be all the injuries and surgeries he had to go through, all the recovery. So he did something a little more close to home than going back to Florida. So he's been out of there for a while. And, you know, they've been yapping for years back and forth, even back to when Woodley was a champ. They were supposed to fight. Covington had an interim belt. And then Woodley got hurt again. They couldn't fight. And that's when, you know, Usman ended up stepping in and fighting Woodley and taking the belt from him. And then he fought Covington. So these guys have been supposed to fight for the probably last 3 to 4 years. A lot of trash talking back and forth, because, you know, neither of them is, you know, immune to going on and running the mouth. We know that Woodley has his own TMZ show. He's always in the media talking to anybody who will listen. Covington the same, where he'll just yap and yap. Even if you're not listening, he'll keep talking until you do listen and write it down and make a story out of it. So they've been going at it for years, both in and out of camps, and they're ready to go now in the cage. It's going to be interesting.
Do people actually watch that Woodley show on the TMZ thing, or are people into that?
I'm sure that plenty of people are. I mean, that's a very popular site, very popular, you know, show, even on regular cable and stuff that they have. I don't watch that. I don't get into the gossip and all that drama. I want stories that actually matter. But for, you know, him, I'm sure it's a great thing that he's setting up at 38 years old for post-fight career, and something he could do as he goes on after he decides to, you know, put the gloves down the mat.
So let's talk about how you have basically said to me and this audience on Sports Grid and on Pharrell and a Bench on Sports Grid Radio that you think he's been terrible lately, Woodley, fighting, that he's, like, lost it. And what's he going to do this week?
I don't know. I'm not expecting too much from him. I know that, obviously, Covington's a big favorite here, and that's not too surprising, because I know he's coming off as loss as well to Usman, but that was a great fight where they're battling back and forth. Woodley had a much less impressive performance against Usman. Then he went and fought Gilbert Burns, where he just looked old and not like himself there. I know now he's supposedly refocused, and Masvidal's got him, you know, really opening up, and he's ready to trade hands majorly, but I'm not going to buy that until I see it, because I have not been impressed with what I've seen from him in the last two fights. He's only fought one time each year the last 3 years because of injuries and surgeries and recoveries, so I just don't know what he has left at 38.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates on Sports Grid Radio. Get the Sports Grid Radio app. You can listen to everything on Sports Grid TV and Sports Grid Radio on the app. It's free. You'll love it. Go to sportsgridradio.com. Check out our overnight shows, Pharrell on a Bench, Sports Rage, Bagels and Bad Beats. You can watch us on our YouTube page. Just search Sports Grid Radio. And we're also on Mightier 1090 in San Diego. By the way, the Padres and Dodgers are ones, tied at ones in the third at Petco. All right, let me ask you about the story of Michael Chandler. Are they close to a deal, Dana White? It sounds like they are.
Yeah, apparently they're deep in negotiations, and obviously we know that we wanted Ferguson Poirier, but that, you know, they haven't been able to make the deal because they haven't been able to get Poirier what he wants, apparently. So Ferguson's calling for them to do that, but it doesn't look like they are. So what's become a kind of an option here and what they're talking about maybe possibly happening in the next month is them signing Michael Chandler, who's a free agent from Bellator, the longtime champ there, who just got, you know, his free agency and his walking papers, able to go test the waters. And seems like him and the UFC are in deep negotiations. And they might throw him right in the mix there and get him in against Ferguson in that fight card at about the end of October, if they can't get the Poirier fight to happen, which is looking more and more like it's not gonna.
That's a shame. I wanted to see Poirier and Ferguson. Poirier is like my favorite fighter. I just think he's incredible. Daniel Cormier, says he had the COVID. B, says he wants to get into the WWE. What do you think of that?
It makes sense. You know, he's always been a big wrestling guy, not just Olympic wrestling, but, you know, the actual WWE and all that stuff. He's one of those guys that's big into a lot of the MMA guys seem to be, especially the ones that come from the collegiate and, you know, Olympic wrestling backgrounds. Oh, you know, he's a showman. He's got personality. That'd be a perfect thing for him to do. And it's surprising that he had COVID just a month before that fight, was able to recover quick enough to be able to go five rounds with Stipe. That's very impressive for him. And COVID struck the UFC again as that Santos fight was again canceled now. It was moved from the fight card last week because of COVID, because of Teixeira testing positive. Now Santos has it, so them fighting in a week isn't going to happen either.
Wow, that's crazy. So we got Covington and Woodley on Saturday, and that's going to be exciting. And then after that, I think it's Adesanya Costa is the next week card, correct? Next week?
That's for next week in Abu Dhabi.
Wow, I'm a little surprised that Sports Grid's not sending Mafia to Abu Dhabi, to Pharrell Fight Island. I would have liked to have seen that. All right, so thanks a lot, Mafia. Great stuff. When we come back, I'm going to get into some baseball talk. I told you the Padres and Dodgers are tied right now, I think, going to the fourth inning. We got a lot to talk about in terms of baseball, all of tonight's games. That's all there is tonight. There's no hockey. There's no NBA. And we're going to get into NFL and college football. We have to talk about the Big Ten. They're going to start playing in October, so people are fired up for that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's still 1-1 Dodgers and Padres. They're the Dodgers have two on, two outs in the third, and so they're trying to break the tie right now at Petco. Good game going on with San Diego and Los Angeles, the teams with the two best records in the National League, Carver High. So we got plenty of baseball to talk about here, and it's all baseball tonight. There's no hockey. There's no NBA.
Yes, they are at. They're going on right now, like you said, 1-1 in the third. Last night, Scotty, the Dodgers take the second game of the series off of the Padres, a 3-1 final. Kenley Jansen had a bit of a jam late in the ninth inning, but he was able to get it done. Here he is after the game, Scotty, on Sportsnet LA.
Everything to do is just pick up my teammates. You know, it wasn't an easier one today. I mean, they're locked in. And, you know, I tried to be locked in, too. You know, I tried to bounce back and get back on track. I mean, you know, I'm not going to let stuff like that happen in the past define our season. Our season is try to win a championship. I don't care what the result is. Stats and any of those bull crap. Sorry, I almost cursed. It's time to win a championship. That's all it is about. Pick my team.
All right, there you go. So, and now they're going to score some runs here. Looks like they're going to get both of those runs in on a shot into the corner. They got at least one in. I think it's 2-1 Dodgers now. I got a lot of action going on this game today. So I actually bet on the Dodgers today, Carver High.
How about that? You're going after the Padres the last couple of days, going back to the Dodgers here to take the last game of this series. We'll keep you updated on this one. Also in San Diego, Scotty, did you see that the ratings for the Padres are through the roof and the ratings for the Chargers, not so much? So people not really taking a big interest in the Chargers, but this is a good Padre team, and they're the only team really left in town, right?
They should have never left San Diego, the Chargers. They deserve the fans to turn their backs on them, as far as I'm concerned. And then the Padres are obvious, you know, why they're playing such great baseball that everyone in town is, you know, jumping on. I mean, it's that simple. But I have been to that ballpark many times when they weren't good and it was empty. So it's real simple. It's like anything else. If you win, they come, and if you don't win, they don't. And when you win, they get TV ratings through the roof. It's weird. Like in Miami, right, they've always done well, believe it or not, on television, even though they stink. And nobody goes to the games. Nobody wants to go out. Back in the day when it was open air, they wouldn't sit in that heat and humidity. Now that it's indoors and a beautiful ballpark, they still don't go to it, right? They still don't go to the ballpark. So they watch on TV. And you know what that is? I hate to say it, but it's really, it's all the blue hairs. They sit down there in their condos and in their apartments and whatever, and they watch the games on television. They would no more go out than fly a kite. The only place they go is to Publix. That's it.
The Yankees broke the big stick out last night, Scotty. 20 runs against the Blue Jays. They scored more runs than the Jets. The Giants both scored points over the weekend in their football games. They were due for a big offensive breakout, and they're going to get a little help back starting tonight. Your boy, Aaron Judge, comes off the IL. He is going to be back in the mix for the Yankees. So Stanton yesterday, Judge today. They scored 20 runs. They've won six in a row now. They had a really bad couple of weeks, Scotty, but now maybe they're going to get going and get healthy as we head into the playoffs here with less than 2 weeks to go.
Well, they moved all the way into second, and they needed that six-game winning streak like nobody's business. They were playing horrific. They had lost 15 of 20. It was a terrible stretch. I haven't seen them play that badly in really a decade or more. I don't remember ever seeing them lose 15 of 20. Since I've known you, they've never lost 15 out of 20. So all I know is they're back on track. I don't trust Stanton and Judge at all. I think it's great they're both coming off the IL. I think it's great they're both going to be in the lineup. But I put no stock whatsoever in them staying healthy. They've never stayed healthy once in their career, so why would they be healthy now? They've been out the whole season with injuries, and they didn't even literally do anything to get injured. I mean, what, they run down to first base, and then he pulled up with the cap. The other guy swung a bat and got injured. I mean, honestly, these two guys are, I mean, peanut brittle. I don't trust either one of them. And then I cannot believe yesterday we were talking about Gleyber Torres is injured with a quad. I mean, what's this kid, 21 years old? He's quad injuries. Why is a kid that young, that athletic, breaking down like he is? He's missed the whole season, too. It's really pathetic, I got to tell you.
Injuries have been a problem for the Houston Astros as well this year, Scotty. They finally get Jose Altuve back yesterday off the IL, but then Carlos Correa leaves the game with an injury. We'll see what happens with him. Kind of like the Yankees, they sput along here. They're going to make the playoffs, but are they going to be able to make some noise against some of these teams like Oakland and Tampa who have been playing well from start to finish, Scotty?
Well, look, they are still loaded with talent. There's no doubt about it. I think the key is for them, as well as the Yankees, is their health. If they have their players on the field in these big playoff games, they'll win. If they don't, they won't. From what you showed me on this show, the rundown of the matchups, they would face the A's, right? Like right out of the gates. I mean, That's correct. Is a dangerous opponent to play in that three-gamer, right? Isn't it a three-gamer? Yes. And then it goes to 5-7. So all I know is you don't want to face that team, but anything could happen. Let's face facts. The Astros can beat anybody. They're a really good team, and especially when they cheat.
We'll see what happens with them. Jake Arrieta leaves the mound for the Phillies last night. He has got a hamstring injury. They need everybody they can get right now. They're in a fight to stay in that mix, but they're playing the Mets here next couple days, so that's going to be just fine for them. They beat them last night. Cole Hamels is back for the Braves, Scotty. He hopes to give them a little bit of a boost. They've got a bunch of injuries, including Max Fried. Hopefully Cole Hamels will give them a little jolt in the arm in the rotation.
Listen, here's the deal. I'll just save everyone a bunch of time. Jake Arrieta is finished, and so is Cole Hamels. These two guys, they should be living next door to Stanton and Judge, and they should all go to the same doctors because they're always injured. Jake Arrieta fell off the mound last night with a hammy. He's done. So, you know, he can't pitch. his leg blew out. And, you know, you get a hammy, you can barely sit in a chair, let alone run, let alone walk, let alone pitch. So, and then Cole Hamels. When is the last time Cole Hamels pitched a baseball to anyone? I mean, when I was in grade school, I mean, this guy literally, he's a walking wounded. He should be in a zombie movie. That's what he should be doing. Cole Hamels is going to see the Braves. My ass. Give me a break. He'll last 5 minutes. He should be lovers with Judge.
Before we get to tonight's games, we'll take a look at everything that's going on. Did you see the bit of a skirmish between the Cardinals and the Brewers last night? Yadier Molina in the mix of it. It was his fault. I mean, there was the catcher's interference. He stuck his glove out there, and then things just got out of control from there. The best fight you've ever seen, best bench clearing. You wouldn't even call it a brawl, but a little brouhaha between the Brewers and Cardinals, Scotty.
Listen, it was not a fight at all, but I will say this. Yadi Molina's got a short fuse. I'll tell you what, it doesn't take much to get Yadi going, and he absolutely takes no flack from anyone ever. I think he's kind of earned the right as the best catcher in the game to have some juice. But I know one thing, you don't mess with him. He's all business. He'll fight you. He's not afraid to fight, believe me you, and he looks crazy, so I wouldn't mess with him.
When we come back, Scotty, you can rip through all of the games tonight. We have some pretty good ones and some good pitchers going. You have Gerrit Cole going for the Yankees tonight. You have DeGrom going for the Mets against Wheeler. I guess his fingernail is feeling a little bit better after hurting it on his pants over the weekend when he couldn't make that start for the Phillies. And you've also got Castillo for the Reds. So when we come back, Scotty, you can run through all of these games tonight, just a boatload of MLB games we've got.
I'm going to hit a bunch of games tonight. And the reason I took the Dodgers today, by the way, they're up 3-1, is because of May. Your boy Carrot Top is pitching. And so I bet on him today. And then I see that Lucchese crime family is pitching for the Padres right now on the other side. So we got a lot of action going on. So I'm going to hit a bunch of baseball games. We still got NFL to talk about. And we got college football and Big Ten news for you. We're soaked on coast to coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. Great job, Cam Stewart. Game time decisions coming up top of the hour. All right, Carver High. It's still 3-1 Dodgers. Machado singled off May up the middle with one out. They got a runner on at Petco. And I know Cam was given all the scores. So why don't we do the rest of the games tonight, and I'll let you know who I like.
Yes, let's go through this MLB schedule. Like I said, we've got a lot of big aces on the mound here. Wherever you'd like to start, Scotty, how about Gerrit Cole and the Yankees tonight against the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I like the Yankees, and Gerrit Cole is my top play tonight. I'm going to take him. And then that, Oakland and Colorado, I'm on the A's there. They're up 3-1 in the seventh. I bet on the A's, though, documented on ThrillOnTheBench.com. I had them as my 10th play. I told you I took the Dodgers. St. Louis, Milwaukee, they're playing two. I took the Cardinals in game one. It was my number 8 play. In game two, I took the Brewers. It was my number 15 play. That Boston, Miami game at the Marlins, I took the Marlins there as my 14th play. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, I've been going to the well with the Reds every single day. I took the Reds as my number 12 play. Mets and Phillies, I took the Mets at number 4 with DeGrom. It was my number 4 play. And then Kansas City, Detroit, I took the Tigers as my number 16 play. So my last pick, Atlanta, Baltimore, I went Braves there as my number 9 pick. And then the White Sox, I went with them again. They're my number 3 play. Giolito going. He's been incredible. Texas, Houston, I'm on the Astros as my number 7 play. Cleveland and the Cubs, I'm going Cubs. And Lester, I believe, is on the mound tonight. I'm going Lester, my number 6 pick. And then Arizona and the Angels, Dylan Bundy, my number 5 play, believe it or not. The Angels are awful, but Bundy's been great. So I'm going to go Bundy and take the Angels there. And San Francisco and Seattle, if they're playing, I know they've had all these problems with smoke in the air and everything, but I'm taking The Giants there is my number 13 play. So there you go. There's all my baseball picks. You can get them at PharrellOnTheBench.com every day.
Let's get to the NFL now, Scotty. We'll start with some wide receiver news. Big blow for the Saints here. Michael Thomas expected to miss multiple weeks with that high ankle sprain injury. I know that he thought that he was going to be able to play on this. But as you know, Scotty, the high ankle sprain, never a good thing. One of the big targets for Drew Brees. They're not going to have him for a few weeks.
Yeah, I still think, you know, this is a difficult injury that they have to deal with because, you know, you have guys putting a total on this guy catching like 14 passes every single week in the NFL, that he's the greatest player in the league and everything else. Let's calm down with all that 14 catches a week stuff. I just don't buy that. But I will say, I think it's impossible to keep up that pace. First of all, he can make it 1 week without being injured. So now he's going to be out a couple weeks at the very least. I still think they're hands down better than the Raiders. That's who they're playing, right? That's their game. So yes. I think it's like the Monday night game. Is that what it is? I like the
night
Saints
game.
There.
First
I think
game
I laid
in Vegas.
Yeah, first game in Vegas. I don't care where they play it. I'm laying the 5.5 with the Saints. I just, you know, the Raiders for me, you know, I have to see more product because they got it done for me. They covered. They won in Charlotte. But people said that the Panthers were going to be the worst team in the league. They weren't going to win five games. That Rule was going to get roasted. Teddy Bridgewater be running for his life. But the Panthers and McCaffrey played the Raiders to the hilt and gave them nothing but problems like Washington did the Eagles. So I think every game, every week in the NFL is payday. I think it's hard to win any game. It does not matter who you're playing. Crazy things happen. And so I was not impressed with the Raiders' win. They won for me and covered for me, but I was not impressed. And I just think flat out, there's no one on the face of the earth that can tell me that the Raiders are better than the Saints these days.
Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson, there was some reports that he requested a trade. He says that he did not do that. He's frustrated by contract talks, said that his agent didn't request the trade either. He expects to finish the season with the Bears. The problem that I have with this, Scotty, is that all this comes out after a huge win, comeback win over the Lions on Sunday. Your quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, everybody much maligned all offseason, has a huge fourth quarter comeback. And instead of that being the story, now the story is about the wide receiver who, I guess, didn't get the rock enough on Sunday, so he wanted to grumble about his contract again.
Look, I thought Trubisky's game-winning touchdown pass was perfect in the corner of the end zone. It was a great pass, and he gets no love because people think that Mitch Trubisky sucks. So no one believes that he's good. No one believes that he did what he did. And they want to talk about Robinson now. Let's all just take a second here. We're getting a little bit carried away with Allen Robinson. Like he's some kind of like old thing. I mean, let's get a hold of ourselves here for a minute. Who cares about Allen Robinson's contract problems besides no one on the face of the earth? More people care about walking along Lake Michigan and Navy Pier than they care about Allen Robinson. Honest to God, like I've never seen anything so blown out of proportion in my life. A guy that doesn't even matter. We're spending all this time. We've been talking about Allen Robinson for 4 days. I don't care about Allen Robinson. He's average at best. Calm down, especially with that hack quarterback of his. I don't trust the Bears for 1 minute. They won a game. Everybody needs to have a vodka tonic. Calm down. Get a Tito's and water.
Another wide receiver who is just average these days, Odell Beckham Jr. You talked plenty about him yesterday. Of course, people think that the Browns should let him try to get a trade if they're not going to use him properly. Baker says they spread it out just fine. Let's get to their opponent, Scotty, on Thursday night. That is the Cincinnati Bengals rookie quarterback Joe Burrow. Let's hear from him. He says he had a really tough three quarters on Sunday, but the way he finished in the fourth, that's the way he should play on Thursday night. Here's Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, in my eyes, I played terrible through 3.5 quarters, and then I played up to my standards in the last drive and almost won the game. So I just have to, you know, I know I'll be ready for it, and I just have to just keep that same mindset I had in the 2 minutes to kind of bring that along.
Look,
the rest of the season.
I mean, calm down, Joe. You know, honestly, you're a rookie. You're going to be running for your life most Sundays. And I think you'll have problems with Myles Garrett and the Browns tomorrow night in Cleveland, to be honest with you. I mean, the bottom line is that the Browns, in my opinion, have to, like, win this game. If they go 0-2 again, there are people going to start calling for Baker Mayfield's head on a block. And I'll tell you another thing. I have never seen a prima donna get more exposure for no reason whatsoever on the face of the earth than Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, it was more exciting when he was taking a leak in the end zone, watching this guy getting in a fist fight with Norman in the middle of the field, playing for the Giants. That what has he done in Cleveland besides jack shack? He hasn't done anything. Insert swearing here. Odell Beckham Jr. has been the biggest bust in Cleveland. He needs to do something, for God's sakes. Catch a touchdown, catch a pass, you know, gain 20 yards after catch. Do something besides all we hear about is Odell Beckham. Is he going to get traded? Is he happy? Is Baker happy? Shut up. And by the way, your commercials of house cleaning in the stadium are the worst. They make the State Farm commercials look good. I mean, your commercials suck so bad, and you suck so bad as a quarterback in the NFL. You should just go back to Oklahoma and start all over again, because you have been terrible in the NFL. You are, honestly, my daughter, literally, I kid you not, at Carver High, seeing it, she throws the ball better than him. Honestly, my daughter can sling it. You suck. Do something. Win a game. And your coaches, they've been through 15 coaches in 15 years. It's so embarrassing. Just stop with all this Cleveland Browns BS. Honest to Christ. I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm so sick of hearing about this team. Do something. Win a game for once. You guys absolutely suck.
They better win on
Does that cover it, Carver High?
Team. You covered it. You circled all the way around, and you took care of business on Baker, Odell, and the Cleveland Browns. I've got a lot of news for you on the 49ers. Of course, they are going to MetLife to play the Jets on Sunday. They will, they're signing Mohamed Sanu, a wide receiver. We thought that they might do that. They're cautiously optimistic that George Kittle is going to play against the Jets. They put Richard Sherman on the IR, so he's going to miss at least the next 3 weeks. And did you see the comments that were thrown at Cardinal safety Bubba Baker after they thought he injured Kittle, of course? So all the people started throwing the racist comments at Buda Baker, and the 49ers are like going after whoever it was. They don't appreciate that they did that, one of their fans.
Is there anything worse than, you know, drunk, fat, lazy, loser fans that decide when things don't go their way in a sporting event that they're going to start sending death threats and anti-Semitic and racist rants at players and threatening their lives and families' lives and children's lives? Is there anything worse than that kind of complete imbecile loser? Here's what's going to happen, you fat lard of nothing. They're going to catch you. You're going to lose every right you ever had on the face of the earth, and everyone soon enough is going to know who you are. You're going to be exposed as the scum that you are, and you're never going to another NFL game as long as you live. So sit on your couch, you fat loser, and pull out those Doritos and that bong, because that's got your middle name on it forever. What kind of a drip? What kind of a drip writes a threatening letter, racist rant, threatening a guy's life after a football game? And meanwhile, how's this for a kicker? Baker and Kittle are friends. They like each other. They're pals. He didn't get mad at him because he hit him in the knee. They're like buddies. You're such a tool, dude. No wonder your wife doesn't sleep with you. You're an absolute loser. Know it. Look in the mirror. Go get a shrink. Honestly.
The Jets plays Le'Veon Bell on IR. He's going to miss the next couple of weeks. Gates left him in the game after he was hurt. He probably got hurt even more. Doug Peterson is concerned with how long Wentz holds on to the football, Scotty. Come on, Carson.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. Don't forget, top of the hour, game time decisions. And later tonight, Pharrell on a bench, make sure you check out our YouTube page. Just search Sports Grid Radio, and you can listen on the Sports Grid Radio app. I'll be on it 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific in Southern California. And while I'm at it, all of California, all the way up to the Canadian Rockies. Chicks dig me. All right, Carver High, where are we? Still pain day, skinny.
Yeah, let's keep rolling with the NFL. Let's go to Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians says that they have to get Mike Evans more involved in the offense. I mean, the dude was banged up on Sunday. I don't know what you wanted him to do. I guess they want
still
Brady to
plays.
Look his way a little bit. Still made, yeah, exactly. And Chris Godwin, though, he's in concussion protocol now, Scotty. So we'll see if he's going to be good to go on Sunday. They play the Panthers at home. This vaunted Buck team with all the big moves and bringing Brady in, they're not going to really start 0-2 with the Panthers coming in Sunday, are they?
No. In fact, you know, if their defense can stop McCaffrey, in my opinion, the Bucs will light it up against the Panthers on Sunday. I don't care who's playing. They're still loaded. So, you know, they got all this talent they've been bragging about. They're so absolute stacked at every position. They shouldn't have a problem with a guy or two being injured. They should be able to have next man up, load it up, lock and load, let's go. And if Brady doesn't have a big game on Sunday against that team, people are going to start crucifying Tom Brady.
Sean Lee, always hurt for the Cowboys. He's expected to miss 6 weeks with hernia surgery. They will not have him. A lot has been made over the last couple of days about how much the Bills ran Josh Allen during their game on Sunday against the Jets. They play the Dolphins on Sunday, Scotty. Here's head coach Sean McDermott. He says it is something that we're going to have to keep an eye on with how much we give him the ball to run.
It is a weapon of his game. It's got to be a good balance, you know, a healthy balance, and that's what we shoot for every week. It's something that we do take seriously for a lot of reasons, which I'm sure you know. What most of those reasons are, John. But I thought, you know, just overall, we did some good things in the run game. We could have been better in other areas in the run game. I thought our offensive line did some really good things and some things that we can do better. And they know that. So I'm encouraged to watch us perform during the week as we prepare the Dolphins.
I mean, honestly, it's your team, Carver High, but tell me I'm wrong. Just let him play. What is the problem here? Well, like this, they're overdoing this, too.
You know what it is? I get one little side of it. He is becoming a better passer. I know that the charts and graphs crowd doesn't want to tell you that, but he is throwing the ball a lot better. I do get sometimes worried that they are running him, the designed runs, a little bit too much. Not only because he has a fumbling issue, but also, Scotty, because you don't want him to get hurt. I mean, you got Matt Barkley sitting over there on the end of the bench. No, he's only there to tutor the guy, not there to play. But I do get a little leery of it. I like when he breaks the pocket and he makes those type of plays. He's great. He's athletic. I think the designed runs, they could maybe tone it down just a little bit, but he kills the Dolphins. He's had monster games against them the last 2 years. I expect another one coming up on this Sunday. Monday Night Football doubleheader rating, Scotty, way down. 21% the early game from last year. 38% the late game. I know it was a bit of a snoozer. Surprised to see the ratings down for Monday Night Football.
You know, here's the deal. Like, for everyone that watches Sports Grid and anyone that bets and anyone that likes football like we do, do you think I give a rat's ass what the network television ratings are for sporting? I watch every game. I don't care if you're watching or not. Go have another smoke and another drink. I don't care what you do. I'm watching every game every night. I don't care what other people do. I watch everything. People watch Sports Grid. That's the way the world should work. I don't care about network television problems or cable television problems. I really don't. Ratings, all of that nonsense. I watch every game.
Players of the week, offensive AFC is Lamar Jackson, NFC Russell Wilson on the offensive side, Ryan Kerrigan, NFC, Casey Hayward, AFC. Those were your defensive players of the week. Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, this is the initial list. There's about 150 names. You know that they trim it down like 15 times before they actually get to the actual list on Super Bowl weekend. But the two big new names on the list this year, Scotty, Peyton Manning and Calvin Johnson. So we'll see if those two, we know Manning will, and Johnson most likely also skate right into the Hall of Fame this year. Our condolences to Bill Belichick's mother, Jeanette, passes away at 98. That is a good run, Scotty, as we know, 98.
Nice run. Nice run there. Solid. You got to give her credit. He's, you know, if that's any indication of how long he's going to live, wouldn't it be great if he coached till he was 90?
anything is possible when it comes to Double B. That's for sure. Big Ten football, Scotty. It is back. The announcement was made this morning. They will begin on the weekend of October the 24th. They're going to play 8 straight games and then play the title game on December the 19th. Now, all the teams in the conference will play that day so that they will each play a 9th game. What they'll do is in the divisions, the second place team, each division will play each other. The main game is obviously going to be the title game to see who will most likely have a shot to get into the college football playoff now. They're going to use daily rapid testing, unique schedules. Big Ten is back, Scotty. It might have took them a little while, but at least they're going to be in the mix, right?
Yeah, it's enormous news. We felt it was coming. We've talked about it a lot on Sports Grid and on Coast to Coast and on Pharrell on the Bench, and it was inevitable. There was so much pressure from legislators, parents, players, the media, Kevin Warren. I felt he was going to lose his job over it. Like, they wanted to crucify that guy. He just got the job, right? He did a great job in Minnesota with the Vikings. Now he's running the Big Ten, and they want to run him out of Dodge. But now they've saved the season. Hopefully they can handle the protocols and everyone stays healthy and they can play the games. I hope the Pac-12 comes around now. They have said nothing of the sort. Scott, the commissioner, has said we are not ready to play football in the Pac-12. It sounds crazy to me why they haven't figured it out, especially when they have the greatest thing, the 15-minute testing that they have out there. I can't believe that they won't come around and play.
Yeah, Larry Scott in the Pac-12 released a statement this afternoon basically saying this does not change anything for us. We are still not going to be on the field. We'll see if they can get on later on in the winter. USC football players sent a letter to your buddy, California Governor Gavin Newsom, asking to please let them play. I don't think the governor has anything to do with it, Scotty. The Pac-12 doesn't want to play. That's what it comes down to.
Listen, Gavin Newsom has bigger fish to fry. COVID and the fires in California, people missing, people dead. He's got a lot more urgency on his desk. One late note, Eric Stahl just got traded to the Buffalo Sabres for Marcus Johansson. I think that was the
trade. How about that? Eric Stahl going to Western New York. Good luck. The Sabres need a culture change. He'll be part of it. Kirby Smart's going to wait till the opener to reveal who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs. Arkansas State, who upset Kansas State last week, of course, their game is postponed on Saturday against Central Arkansas due to COVID cases on the team. I now give to you, Scotty, some of the feature games for this Saturday. We dip our toe in here for the first time, a couple days away. Let's take a look at the good games on the slate. BC and Duke, Houston, Baylor, Navy and Tulane, Tulsa, Oklahoma State, the Syracuse Pitt game we mentioned yesterday, South Florida going to South Bend to take on the Irish, UCF and Georgia Tech, the U going to Louisville, and Wake Forest at NC State. Anything jumping off the page for you here?
The last three games, I think Central Florida, Bobby Dodd against Georgia Tech is decent. I think Wake at NC State is better. And I think the best game of the week is Miami and Louisville. I'm not excited about the Notre Dame-USF game, to be honest with you. Syracuse-Pitt, you can have it. And the rest of those games, I guess Houston and Baylor. I think that the Cougars and Bears will actually put up 70-plus points, and that'll be an exciting, crazy game. I like Baylor there. I think Duke will beat BC, and I think the games are decent at best. We need to get the SEC, ACC, Big 12, and the Big 10 rolling and get all the big games going. Like, anyone gives a damn about Arkansas State and Central Arkansas not playing, I'd rather pick my teeth than watch that game.
Yes, next Saturday, the 26th, is when you get all the SEC games to start getting right in the mix. And that's when the ACC and the Big 12 are going to start playing each other, the big conference game. So you'll get a lot better matchup starting next week, Scotty. That is for sure. A little hockey here. I know you did it with Dennis Bernstein earlier, but I had to play for you today on Coast to Coast. The Islanders game winner in double overtime last night. Jordan Eberle with the winner. Here is Chris King on WRHU on Long Island.
Right point, Shattenkirk, the blast, blocked out high. Islanders might have a 2-on-1 here. Lee, through the left circle, he's with Eberle down the middle, feeds him, shoots, he scores! Jordan Eberle has won it in double overtime!
your boy, Kinger going off. I mean, he went into another octave village right there. That was rock star status. He'll never forget it. I'm sure it was the biggest goal he's ever called. Maybe, I hate to say his name, Cardinal Sin, but the Tavares goal maybe against the Panthers. Yeah. That was huge. This is bigger. This is way bigger. Great moment for him. I'll never forget one night I called an overtime Nelson Emerson goal when the Thrashers beat the Avalanche in Colorado. Everyone almost fell over because they hadn't won a game in 2 months, and we beat the Avalanche in overtime. I mean, to tell you, we went out and got hammered after that one. But I called a lot of goals for the other team. The Thrashers never scored. That's because Don Waddell drafted Patrick Stefan.
Oh, man, Patrick Stefan with all the concussions, as you mentioned at the top of the show. Look, I know I told you yesterday I don't expect him to win the series, and I still don't. They're not going to beat this team, I don't think, the other two times. But two things
yeah, you
for
do,
me.
You liar. Number one,
I'm very happy that in the series, after they got completely sandbagged by the NHL with that scheduling in game one, where they had to go and play basically a couple hours off the plane, after beating the Flyers in Game 7. Since that game, they have played them heads up in four games. It's been 2-2, and they've been in every single game. So that you got to be proud if you're an Islander fan when you look at how well the team's played. Here's the other thing, Scotty, that'll start to creep in if the Islanders, let's say, take 2-0 lead in this game tomorrow night. The last two times the Lightning, this group of Lightning players with John Cooper, have been in the Eastern Conference Final against the Penguins in 2016. They had a 3-2 lead. They blew it and lost in 7. In 2018 against the Capitals, they had a 3-2 lead. They blew it and lost in 7. Both times in the East Final, here they are again, a 3-2 lead in the East Final. They're the better team, there's no doubt about it. But that's going to creep into their heads a little bit.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Dodgers up, Padres in a fifth. Runners on the run out. They're causing trouble. He's up. Betts has had a huge game. Aces. Also, A's 3-1 in the top of the ninth. And Rotto, one of the doubleheader Brewers, 2-1 over the Cardinals. Bottom three. By the way, Schilt suspended a game for the whole thing with their brawl and arguing session tonight. Carver High, big story coming out about college basketball. Wait then.
Yes, big meeting today, the NCAA. November 25th is the day that they have circled college basketball season. They voted also to keep recruiting until January 1st. No more exhibitions at all this season. Season capacity has been reduced by 4. Teams can start practicing as much as 1st per week starting September 21st. So it's up to the teams to figure out the scheduling for the 25th. I'm sorry. November the 20th day that college basketball plays. How about that?
Oh, that is so awesome. I love college basketball. I'm thrilled. I'm just glad that in both college football, NFL, college basketball, before you know it, you won't even believe this, before you know it, playing hockey and NBA again, this whole summer has been going, that's going to happen as well. Did you see him as the former Stanley Cup champion of the Penguins? Difficult times on that. But got clean and sober. How about one the other day? Golfing. He got all.
I saw. Great, great Stevens. A hole in one. I wish for it.
180 yards into the wind. And also, his son is Penguins. So I think he's going to hurry. But that's pretty cool. Scarborough. Oh, how about this one? A guy broke into a house and he dropped a cable. He dropped a dishwasher. The move.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.